It's happened a few times for me where I will work on a message and feel really good about it, and then wake up Friday morning or Saturday morning and it'll just hit me. That's not the message. And it was really, really discouraging for me yesterday morning because of the amount of hours I put into this message that is not going to be given now. Because usually it happens where I have the message and God's like, no, and I'm like, oh, and he's like this. And I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yesterday morning was no and nothing. Okay. So all day yesterday, I'm like, Lord, I'm reaching here. What do you, I told people I'd help them out and I didn't show up because I'm like, I need to get this figured out. And then God's just like, you ain't getting anything till tomorrow. And it's like really, really discouraging to show up on a Sunday morning going, well, this is all I got. But in this, I still think God wants to do something. And some of you are like really excited because it's like, oh, he's going to fry up there. Yeah. For those of you, get ready to be entertained. Let's open up to Mark chapter 1. And we are in a series called The Greatest Man Ever. And John the Baptist is really the focus of our study for 5 weeks. If you don't have a Bible, we got some around the corners. People are handing them out. And we came up with this title because in Scripture, Jesus said, there was no greater man born of woman than John the Baptist. And I was like, you know, that's really awesome. We should take a look at this guy. And so last week, we were just talking about he was a crazy man, a man who just, great opportunity. There was a guy here who's a youth pastor, a good friend of mine. He came and listened to the message last week. And he called me up during the week and he's like, hey, is there any way I could use part of the stuff you talked about last week? I'm like, man, if you got anything out of that, go for it. I don't. And he's like, well, I just really like the idea of the man part. And we need to call people out to be men. And he's a youth pastor. He's like, I'm going to bring that to my youth group guys. And so he's meeting with his guys, and he's got a ton of them. And so he gets up there and he starts talking about, you know, guys, we're just different. You know, God's just created us to be men. And unlike girls, we have something extra. We just got a little bit more. And all the guys start laughing. And he's like, what? I mean, we do. We have something more. And they're like, because they're middle school guys. And they're like, yeah, we do. And he calls, and he's super embarrassed. It backfired on him. Some of you will get that later. Let's read Scripture. Maybe that'll be a good segue here. Verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. And this morning, I want to really elevate this idea of baptism. It is something that has divided churches to a hard stance. And here's my understanding of baptism. Here's my understanding of theological issues. There's some things that we should hold very tightly to. We do not hand off any belief on certain things. There's other things we need to have an open hand. We may disagree about how it's done or what is interpreted, but it is not a salvation matter. And so there's some things where I would say we hold very tightly to. We believe Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the only way to heaven. We do believe that. It's something we hold. Now, others might disagree. That's fine. We're still going to hold to that. There's other issues, and I would put baptism in here about how baptism is done and why people are baptized. Some people have very, very strong opinions on this, and I think they're valid, and I think it's a healthy debate in certain settings, but I still think we need to hold an open hand to this. So this morning, we're going to talk about an open hand thing that is often thought of as a closed hand. Not sure if that made any sense, but this is where we're going. In my life, there has been seasons where I've been one place and then I'm another. So I used to live in Minnesota. I was born in Minnesota. And then over time, I moved and I now live in Iowa. Great. Okay, there's another time in my life where I was single. I had no significant other. As hard as I tried and as desperately as I pursued different hairstyles, there was nothing that would work. And then there came a point where I was married and still am married to my wife. And there's a time where Jenny and I, we had no children. It was Jenny and I. We were the Schmidt home. We were the family. And now we're in a different season where now we have children. We have three children. So we were there, and now we're here. There are moments, I think, in your life where you were here. Maybe you didn't have a job, and now you do. Maybe something I said, you lived one place and now you didn't. You owned this car and now you own this vehicle. All right? I believe this really is life. And this has to do with baptism. It's about a year ago, I threw out all these cantaloupes. And I said, I believe that God calls us to each be in a season of a spot. And at some point, through faith, we're supposed to take a step forward. Maybe we could just illustrate these. Maybe you're at one star moment, and God's calling you to take a step of faith to the next star moment. You were here, and He's calling you to be here. I think in faith, one of the moments of here and then here is well spoken of by John Newton, who said, "I once was lost. Now I am found." In our text, it says John the Baptist had shown up and he was preaching in the wilderness to people who were here. And he said, repent, be baptized, and move to here. His job was to prepare the way for the Messiah who wasn't in the earth and then was in the earth. So John was saying, hey, everyone who's here, you got to get ready. And by getting ready, it means you move to here. This morning, if you hear nothing else, I think it would be healthy for you to identify where you are right now, spiritually, in your walk with Christ, in your walk with others. It could be a very personal relational thing. It could be a very personal professional thing. It could be a very personal spiritual thing. But somehow, you are here. And I would say, if you refuse to look at what the next step of faith is, you will actually start going backwards. You don't really stay in the same spot. God is always calling you into movement forward. And I believe failure to move forward is a movement backwards. So, let me set up the baptism a little bit more. There's a great children's story, which is kind of weird that we call it a great children's story, because if you actually understand the context, it's kind of freaky. It's Noah. And Noah lived in a time where all the people were wicked, the Bible says. They were living horrendous lives. They were all evil and did not desire God. And in the wicked world that we tell kids in a nice fancy way of like, there were all these animals and they were cute and they walked two by two. The reality is everyone was quote unquote evil, wicked, not pursuing God. And then there was this righteous man who had a family and his name is Noah. And God called Noah to build an ark. And this ark is a giant boat. And the animals came two by two and got into the boat. And then for 40 days and 40 nights, it rained. And then they floated on the sea for another 100 some days. And then they landed on dry ground. And that's the story of Noah in a nutshell. Most of you have heard of it. Most of you are familiar with it, whether you have a Christian background or not. You understand the idea of Noah. Oh, yeah, the animals, the zoo guy. Yeah, which is really, I mean, that's great. But then in 1 Peter, it talks about that being an illustration of baptism. And so, look at it this way. The earth was wicked. It was in a dark place. And then the flood came, and it was made new. Number two story from Old Testament that refers to baptism is there was a man named Moses who went to Egypt, and in Egypt, he shows up on the scene and says to the Pharaoh, let my people go on behalf of God. They are in slavery. Slavery is something you should understand, not a good spot to be in. And in slavery, Moses says, let them out of slavery. And so through a sequence of events, they were in slavery. They cross through a river. The waters part. There's water involved again. And they walk through the water, and they were slaves, and now they are free. Okay. Here's something I'm trying to unpack then. Have you been baptized? Yes or no? That's something you need to wrestle with. But my thought is, why does God want us to move from here to here? Why is there this idea of baptism? There's something about an experience. There's something about actually living something that is more profound than just a word or an idea. So there's the word Christian. All of you come up with your ideas of what a Christian is. Yours is different than hers, and hers is different than his. Yet if I showed you a picture of something, it creates all these other words. Let me do it this way. This week I ran a survey. I threw up the following image. Go ahead, put up the Hawkeye image there. I put that image up on my blog. And I said, what does this make you think of? Because all of you have your different ideas of what this stands for. Some of you it's changed over the weekend. I did not anticipate that coming, so if I'm pouring salt in a wound, I apologize. And celebrate at the same time. When you see this, you know, it's the idea, a picture's worth 1,000 words. You heard that? I mean, for some of you, my brother-in-law wrote, God's beautiful artwork. Another person spoke of just great victory or tense moments on Saturday was their response. That's what this makes them think of. Another person wrote, I could write something about criminals or something else, but I will just say Floyd is coming home to the north. And that's a friend of mine from Minnesota. He read, and he's like, not. So you have people who look at this and it elicits some response, and you have other people who look at this and it elicits another response, and there's this emotions and things built to just even a picture. It's funny how the word Hawkeye maybe would do the same thing, because Hawkeye is actually a logo, but here's what I want to get at. We have moved to a complacent standstill spot. And sometimes we get a picture of what could be a new reality. And this reality is pulling something out of us. It's actually drawing more thoughts or feelings. So on Wednesday, when I went and watched this Hillsong video, and I saw kids in the streets who had no food or no shelter, it did something, because before I was like, yeah, there's poor people. And then it moved me to, wow, they're the poor people. They're the people that are in need. And I went from, boy, someone should do something about that, too. Boy, someone should do something for them. And what would it take for me to move from someone should do something for them, so what could I do? Now, I don't want to give you any false guilt or anything like that, because I was really nervous, like I was going to get there, and they're like, with the popcorn you bought at the movie tonight, you could have supported 28 children for three. I mean, I have an issue with that. I mean, I understand we should bless people, but I don't want to false guilt anyone. What I want to say to you is, your life, wherever it's at right now, God is calling you to take a step forward. And for some of you, it's baptism. Okay, so you have claimed Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior, and you do nothing different. Some of you, you do something different. You talk about being a follower of Jesus, but really, there is no internal life change. And so I wonder, why has God got this thing called baptism in there? And I wonder if it's because he wants us to experience something. When I was single, I was over here, and then I got engaged, and there was a moment of transition. We were engaged. We were not married, yet I wasn't really single anymore. And so I was in this spot, yet there was this gray area, this transition time, and then on a certain day at a certain time, I became married. I did not have children, and then we became pregnant. And then there was this pregnancy transition time where I was kind of a parent, but really not. I wasn't here anymore, but I was in this transition. And then, boom, there's a day where the baby's there and you are a parent. Like, they're like, here you go. And you're like, seriously? Background check or something, really? I mean, I don't clean up very well. And so I think in Christianity, in following Jesus, we are on a journey, and at some point we're in a spot, and then we go through a transition where there's something happening on the inside of us where I wonder if God's calling me into more. I wonder if God's got something along this idea for me. And then he gives us an opportunity to actually have a moment where, oh yeah, I was there and now I'm here. And I think baptism is one of those huge moments. Jesus told us three things to do. I don't know if you realize this, but the first was pick up your cross and follow me daily. Basically, he said, you should suffer because I suffer. Which a lot of, hey, whoa, I don't want to suffer. But God said, in you choosing to suffer like me, you become more like me. And I am one who stands here and I'm like, I don't want to take the step of suffering. I want to take the step of like, yeehaw, party time heaven. And so maybe I need to have a heart change. And in this heart change, I'm like, okay, God, what does it mean to suffer? Does it mean I go hurt myself? No. Okay, so how do I suffer? Is it me giving all my money away? Well, that probably wouldn't be beneficial long term because then you would inflict suffering. And that, so what does it look like? And maybe it's being okay with being wrong. Maybe that's a form of suffering. Maybe the suffering is choosing to do something that is hard to do, but standing in because I by faith. It's a painful step, but it's a step I have to take. And there's a transition there. And I think baptism is one of these steps where I believe in Jesus, but I'm actually going to show and display it. I long to declare Jesus is Lord. And so in Scripture, it says that we are buried with Christ in death when we are baptized. We go under the water. Now some people, like, we'll talk about this in a second. We go under the water and we are buried. We experience the same death as Christ. Is it physical pain? No. It's the idea of we're on this side of the river and then we go under the water and we come out on a new side of the river. In the flood, it was evil. We were evil. We had evil in us. We were wicked. And then through baptism, through the washing of the water, we were here and we moved to a new spot, a new clarity. And because it says also in baptism, we were not only buried with Christ, but we also were raised up. We were made new. We resurrected with Jesus. And so some of you need to experience a resurrection, I believe. You need to acknowledge that I need to die to my old self, my old ways, and I need to come to new life. And if you're already baptized, I don't want to baptize you again. I want you to just be clear. Like, I need to repent. John the Baptist said, repent, turn around, face a new way, walk a new direction, get yourself ready. There's another reference in Scripture about baptism is putting on new clothes. It's the clothing of Christ. And so we did have our old clothes, our old self, and through baptism we walk through and we enter into new clothes and a new posture. It's the Christ-like clothes. Now, next week we will be doing some baptisms, and I want to meet with anyone who's like, I just want to talk about this more because it's a lot of stuff. And so after the service, we want to talk through, like, do you baptize children, which we do, or do you baptize people again, which is another whole conversation. And so for those of you, I know there's something about, I just haven't had my moment with God. And is it about a moment? No, boy, moments do help, don't they? They do help. I'd like to end with this. I get sad sometimes. I get sad because I don't have my life all together. I don't have my junk in order. I screw up. Mean to my wife sometimes, and it just drives me nuts when I walk out of the room after being mean, and it's like, you did it again. Because really inside of me, I don't want to keep going that route. I want to go a new route. My son, he's a typical 4-year-old, but like for us, he's like, oh boy, we might need to send him to boot camp or something because he has just got something wrong with him. I don't know. I mean, we're going through that phase right now where, like, he'll hit his sister and we're like, Toby, don't do, and we're raising our voice and we're just like, yeah. And he cries because we're so angry and we're so worked up because we don't want him to hurt. And so then we jump in and then we set him in time out and we walk away and we're like, oh, where does he get it from? I don't like that I get bitter when someone says something to me and I disagree and I'm just like, ugh. Mad. I'd like to fix it. I would. I think all of us deeply long to move out of the spot we're in, and sometimes we just don't know how to take the next step because we're so inundated with where we are. And I'm just tired of screwing up. I'm tired of making the wrong choice. And God says, you know what? You will continue to make wrong choices, but it's a journey, not a destination. And so when you're making these wrong choices, learn from them, take the step, and move forward. Leave it there, learn from it, grow from it, but do not stay the same. I don't want you to stay the same person. I want you to become more and more and more like Jesus. And so I'm going to put different spots in your life to move you forward. There was a man in the scripture, he was hearing for the first time about Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one talked about in the Old Testament. And they were riding in a chariot, and he saw some water. And he says, how about now? Why not now? Why don't I get baptized right now? Now, did he have it all figured out? Had he had all the answers? No. But for him, he's like, man, I'm moving along, and I'm like, oh, I get it. Why not right now? Why not today? Make a mark. Make a stand. God, this day, I have learned something. There's something new growing in me. I once was here. I want to be here, Lord. Meet me here. I think there's a need for more passion in our relationship with Jesus, where we really do cry out. We really do say, I do not get it, God. Help me out. And the posture of I got it under control has to go away before we can ever get any help from the Lord. Some of you have jobs that you're looking for. You need work. And so you're begging God, please meet me here. And God wants to. He really does want to meet you there. But more than meeting you there to help you get a job, he just wants to meet with you so that you can grow regardless of the job. Some of you want children. It's been a painful journey. And you're just stuck in the loss. What do we do? Maybe God will open up an opportunity. Maybe it's adoption. Maybe it's nothing. And yet you sit here and you get so down. And God's like, I got your hand. I want to walk you to the next spot. Some of you it's financial. I know we go through this pretty much most weeks. But I really do believe until we treasure what is actually worth treasure. What, give it to me. Treasure and trash. I think some of us think the next step is a treasure and it's actually trash. And God, I have been having a similar thought. He has worded it far better than I did. And we need to actually pursue more treasure, not more trash. Some of you, that's going to deal with you. Last comment. In the most random sermon of all time, which I'm fine with. Because I've told, don't apologize. So I won't apologize anymore. But I'm sorry. No. Why do we do this? Why do we show up on Sunday mornings? Why do we say, we've got good news? Why do we say, Jesus is Lord? Why do we do that? What is our main intention? Here is, if nothing else matters, we fall back to, we believe there is a God in heaven who so loved us in our brokenness and in our screwed up lives, in our trash, that he sent his one and only son to die for us. And when he died for us, he rose from the dead, took away our sins, and brought us to new life. And he said, listen, people, go and make disciples and baptize them. Have them say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was buried with Christ, but I come to new life. Why do we do this? So that people might be set free. If you're a person who needs to be set free, we want to pray for you. If you're a person who says, I want to take a stand and be baptized, I want to learn more about that, there's a meeting afterwards, or check a card. If you're a person who's like, I just need to take the next step in my faith, I need to accept that Jesus is Lord, not God. I need to move from there's a God to God is Jesus. I don't know what it is for you, but some of you have come to a spot in your life where you're ready to say, I'm done doing it on my own. I'm coming to you, God. I'm done. That doesn't mean I'm going to be perfect, but I surrender it all. I'm willing. I'm desiring more of you. I'm turning myself completely over to you. It's a dying to self. I'm letting go, being buried with Christ and being risen to new life, putting on new clothes, entering a new season, entering a new way of living. That's what I long for you. So please stand and sing with us and ponder, what is the next step for you in your journey with Christ? Receive this blessing as you leave. May the God of the universe come and invade your heart. May He pursue you with reckless abandon until you can hide no longer. As you continue to run away, as you continue to duck His grace, would you just be surprised that He's there again? Because there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing you can do that would make Him not love you. There's nothing you can do that would have Him quit pursuing you. He loves you. And so for those of you who need to hear the blessing of "you are loved," hear it. You are loved. No matter what you've done or where you've been, you are loved. For the rest of you, I want to just, I'm mindful of that there's a lot of illness that's just discouraging. So if you or a loved one has been ill or is ill within the last week, could you just raise your hand? Could you just raise your hand up and say, "Lord, I want to lift up either myself or someone who's been ill." Just raise your hand if you know someone who's been sick or ill. And let's just pray for them. Raise your hand if you know someone you love or you yourself have been ill. Father, we pray for the individual in our mind, in our heart. And we ask that you would restore health. We ask that you would restore hope. We know we get sick. That's just part of life. But we also know that you are a good God who longs for us to be healthy and whole. We know it's not a wave the wand, but at the same time, I believe we can pray, and you can do with that whatever you will. But we lift up these people and ask that you would restore health and protect them from getting ill again. And my last prayer, Lord, is for the city of Ottumwa and its surrounding area. Would your hope be known? Would your goodness be known? Would your joy be known by those who live out in the city because of who we are and who you are in us? Empower us with your Spirit to be a voice of hope.